Make sure you get us loud and clear.
Welcome to Used Wigs Radio.
This is the radio station with nothing but...
Lonely. Download some friends.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Used Wigs Radio Podcast 57. Happy 2009, people. Good news. Mayor Michael Nutter just announced his citywide podcast closures. And thankfully, we were not on the list, guys. One thing, though, as always, we're always in fear of certain things. The boss is always wanting to change things. We do have to change formats again this year. It's swing music 100% of the time and swing talk. So we'll be having the cherry-popping big voodoo daddies on our next cast. And, I don't
know if
it's...
retro.
Yeah, I don't even know if that's if swing's popular anymore, but...
No, but it's not. It's come back for the third or fourth time now, right?
Excellent. I'm just glad we weren't part of the closure list, because they got rid of a lot of dead weight. I think the a Twitter from Nutter, again, saying you guys are fine. So,
although I hate to say the welfare podcast guy. That was my favorite.
Well, you know what? It's just not that important. We really don't care about things like that. The library podcast?
Libraries in general, right?
Yeah, they're gone.
We'll
everything
be down to one by the end of Philadelphia. And
right.
Just because they were invented here doesn't mean we should have them.
That's true.
Libraries?
Libraries.
Were they invented here?
Didn't Ben Franklin have a lot to do with libraries?
I think that there were libraries like ancient libraries. Rome had one.
But like the American library system or something. Right. Or card catalogs or something, maybe.
Dewey Decimal.
Librarians? Something was invented here, right?
Ben Franklin, pretty much, that fat bastard invented everything. Like, everything, and I work at Penn, and Penn was founded by Ben Franklin. So anything you mention, like, Ben Franklin did that. Oh, did Ben Franklin, he wrote that first. You're like, okay. All
it's
right,
like
Ben Franklin.
It's like a Franklin cult.
Yeah,
there.
People like him.
Why isn't it called Franklin University then?
We actually tried to get the name of our school changed to the Franklin School.
Is that true?
Yes, we did, and it got all the way up, very high up, and then they nixed it.
Wow.
Anyway. More importantly, we need to talk about what's fueling the show today, and that's, as always, beer. And Todd, I believe you brewed us a batch of beer. This is not professional beer.
Correct.
Amateur beer hour.
I'm a folk brewer, and I spent the $19 at Bed Bath & Beyond. I'm not afraid to invest in drinking. And this is Mr. Beer. Brings us this.
Hi, Mr.
Brew.
Beer.
And this is the beer that came with it. This is the package that came with it. And I think it was called American Ale. It's not
American Ale!
It's not the kind of beer that I usually gravitate towards or like. I mean, it's
sure.
Like 3% alcohol.
America!
You know, usually our burps are higher alcohol by volume with the beer that we drink. But,
yeah.
It's kind of smooth and benign. And
but what did you say first? You described it as a warm keg beer, initial aroma.
It has a smell, I think, when you're raising it to your face. Mm. And it smells to me like the sticky carpeted stairs of like a college apartment.
Very good. See, I was going to give it the name ye olde frat house ale, and then Russ came up with a more... better name, Russ.
Frat sock.
So the old frat sock ale, and I think that's a perfect name for the beer to capture the essence.
It tastes like your basement, kind of. Like how your basement smells.
Does it really?
No,
it
doesn't.
Yeah,
it's
actually it's pretty good. You know, it's a little flat.
Yeah, it is flat.
It's very drinkable. Like that's another thing I want to talk to you guys about. There's one of those stupid, horrible light beers that tout its drinkability.
Oh yeah,
doesn't drinkability Miller Lite? Or Bud Light. One of them.
I don't know, yeah.
That just means to me, if you make a beer, it's drinkable, meaning you can have 8 of them, meaning it tastes like water.
It tastes like water, yeah. Like,
you can
pound
them.
The most drinkable thing is water.
So right,
this
so
beer
drinkability.
Tastes a lot like water is what they're saying.
Yeah.
So we want undrinkable beer.
I want a challenging beer. I want it to be in my mouth being like, am I going to spit this back out? Or am I going to go the whole nine
there
and
a direct
swallow?
There's a direct correlation, though, between,
challenging beer.
Between how much I like a beer and how repulsed most other people are by tasting it.
You know, actually, that smoky beer that John had us taste.
Yes.
Like, the first sip or two was very good. But I think I'd have a hard time drinking a big tall one of that.
Yeah.
That's what I would. It was
that's like an aperitif
sauce,
or something.
I think I would call that a challenge.
It was
beer.
Savory. It was savory.
What would you call beer. If you had a smoky beer? I'd call it like Smoky and the Beer Dip.
Smoky and the Beer.
Smoky and the Beer Bandit Beer Dip.
The Beer.
Nah, Smoky and the Beer. Well, guys, speaking
Smoky
of
the beer,
before we get into all the great stuff we want to talk about for the new year, I have to give you my five greatest beers from 2008 that I drank.
I read about them.
Yes, yeah. Of course you did. It was on newsweeks.com, the number one source for nonsense. Number one, a new beer by one of my favorite breweries, Yards Brewery, Yards Brawler. Great name for a beer. And a delicious, delicious beer. It's a session beer, they call
I've
it.
I've seen guys. That on tap places.
Yeah, that's actually...
session beer means it's low alcohol content.
Yeah, it's not one of those, like, crazy, you know, dogfish, you know, it's made from Mayan root, mined from
It's like
a...
my first beer.
It is. It's like my pretty pony beer. No, it's more than that. It's a robust ale.
Short and
it's
beer.
Number two on the list, Row House Red by Philadelphia Brewery. Fantastic. Flying Fish, Belgian Abbey Dubail. That's also Brian McIntyre's, well, his favorite beer. I always see him tweeting about it. What a drunk, that Brian McIntyre.
You call it tweeting, not twittering?
I don't know. I don't really do I do that much. What is this Twitter
it
you
is
speak
tweeting.
Of?
It's called tweeting.
Also on the list, the Belhaven Wee Heavy, which I've bought since we had our tasting with John. And to round it out, O'Hara Celebration Stout, which Todd gave me. That was delicious. It was like a big growler of Irish stout goodness.
Yeah, it was like the shape and size of a wine bottle with a resealable ceramic cap. Hmm.
Russ, what's your favorite?
Classy.
What was your favorite thing that you put in your mouth that was a liquid this past year? Beer-wise, of
glad
course.
You qualified that.
Beer-wise. I'm qualified.
I really got hooked on the 90-minute IPA
so
fish this past
yeah.
year.
See, that's a challenging beer, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just not your, like, kickback and open up three cans of it while you're painting. That's a beer you sit down with and you become friends with. Todd, what was your favorite?
Well, I bought the half case of the O'Hara Celebration Stout with the intention of giving most of them out.
<Nice gifts. laughs>
And that quickly became my favorite beer of the season.
Jesus, Todd. Very nice. Okay, guys.
That's the way I had to spin it. Like, yeah, Heather, it's like $60. But, you know, we're going to, instead of going to people's houses
yeah,
and wine,
that's a
we're going to bring this. You know,
you know
meanwhile, there's like eight of them empty on the top of my refrigerator.
There was another one I had recently called Old Engine Oil.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Which was
yeah.
actually really nice. Lise was a little afraid of the title, but it was mellower than
was it in like a Foster's oil can type?
No, it was in just like a black bottle.
All right, we're not going to turn this into a beer podcast number two, guys, but I just
that's
wanted to
coming
get...
in March when we have Sam from Dogfish.
Sam Caglione from Dogfish. Yeah.
That's why I refrained from saying the last name.
Excellent.
We have him on our show.
That's going to be fun. Yeah, that's Beer Week. You can check that out, phillybeerweek.com. I believe it's March 6th to the 15th, so check that out. We're going to get back with more talk about the upcoming year and all the greatness. But before then, I'm going to play my favorite song already of 2009. It's by a band called Darts, D-A-R-T-Z, exclamation point.
Now, you're willing to say this is going to be your favorite song of 2009 or
no,
just
so
far, thus far?
But I can't imagine anything being better than it. I love it this much. A great little gem of pop rock indie goodness. A perfect song, I'll say. This is Once, Twice, Again.
Without my medicine, I'm worried about
we're back, people. That was, you guessed it, my favorite song of 2009, straight through from now till December. Yeah. That was the band Darts. You can check them out at, they have a lot of, dartsisgood.co.uk, or go to myspace/darts. They're on the deepelm.com label. To me, Todd, I know you like when I describe bands. I'd like to describe them as a mixture of Look Mexico meets Minus the Bear. What do you think of that?
It's about time.
Yeah.
Someone put that musical equation into effect.
Guys, I have a topic, and I think this will be a good one. I think this will get people talking. I just found out there's an REM tribute concert, a benefit show, and it looks fantastic. It's in New York, and it's all these great
benefiting
artists.
Benefiting what?
REM. They want even more money. No. It's they're benefiting a good cause. 100% of the proceeds benefit musical education programs for underprivileged youth.
Okay.
It's to remove that giant vein on Michael Stipe's forehead.
It's to buy the poor guy food, a sandwich. No, but it's bands like Bob Mould, Rhett Miller, Glenn Hansard, old bands like the Feelies, the DBs. So they have a really cool kind of retro vibe, Athens, Georgia kind of vibe. But the thing was, I'm like, oh, this seems like a great concert. I'd love to go. So I click, you know, buy tickets. I'm like, wow, tickets still available. $275. Oh. I realize it's a benefit. But to me, that's a little too pricey. And that got me thinking, and I think we talked about this before, what is the most you've ever spent to go see a band?
Well, you're looking at me because you know that I probably spent that
I know, money. Something...
Well,
I mean,
you've driven to...
Yeah, this is not counting, like, you know, whatever you spent...
Arctic Circle to see.
So it doesn't count what you spent to go...
No, I just mean ticket.
All right, when I was a kid, like, I listened to a lot of U2, and so my little brother listened to a lot of that, you know, through osmosis. And when he graduated high school... I wanted to take him to see a show, and you know their shows sell out immediately. At least last few have. So I paid. I think it was about $250 a ticket.
Whoa!
To take him, like, to have unbelievable seats as a gift for his graduation, which, you know, was a little steep and a little crazy, but we had a great time, so I wouldn't have changed it.
Very nice, Todd.
I would say that expensive ticket prices equate to shitty shows. For the most part, because you know, like they're the very popular bands in giant venues that I've seen the Stones and David Bowie and things like that, and they're nowhere near the best shows I've ever seen.
That's true.
You know, the best shows I've ever seen have been $5, $10 at Johnny Brenda's, and you're one of 25.
Oh yeah, yeah.
People
so
there.
I'm not equating. So it could be like I can't believe I spent you know $150 to go see Bette Midler.
But after you do, that
I did
once,
not do that.
But
yeah.
I
didn't
make that decision anymore, right? Like, do you even go? Do you buy?
No. I'm amazed what, you know. I talk to like nieces and nephews.
Well, what about
and,
like the football games and stuff people go to? That's crazy.
What, football? Oh yeah, hockey games.
You're paying thousands of dollars for playoff
tickets.
Yeah.
I remember like 7 years ago, a guy in my office like, hey, I'm trying to get rid of my Flyers tickets tonight. Do you want them? And I was first of all, I said, what are the Flyers? Then I followed up with, how much? And he's like, oh, they're $115 a piece. I'm like, $115? And he looked at me like...
Are you buying part of the team?
And he looked at me like, yes, pauper Lions. That's what us Philly hockey fans pay.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm like, you are effing insane. I can't imagine. Like, I spent $220 for a ticket to a college basketball game.
What?
All right. I went to St. Joe's, small Catholic college, and basketball's the only thing we got. We don't have football or anything. I love college basketball, and I love St. Joe's basketball. Our greatest player ever, Jameer Nelson, final year. This was a few years back. St. Joe's was undefeated going into its last game, and it was Jameer Nelson's last home game. If they won this, they have an undefeated season. Very unprecedented in you know college basketball. And I had no tickets, and I was like, holy crap. I was working Russ at Full Tilt at the time, and I got one of our guys, George Madden's son, went to St. Joe's.
That sounds familiar.
And I'm like,
yeah.
George, get your son to get me a ticket. I'll pay anything. He's like, anything? And I'm like, yeah. And his son came back. He's like, I get a ticket. I'm like, $200. And he's like, okay. So I had to like go on campus, meet George Madden Jr., and like do the ticket exchange and stuff like that. And I ended up giving George $20 for his for George Jr. $20 for his trouble. And it was money well spent. The place was packed. It was a great time. But it didn't even occur to me that I'm like, I'll pay anything. I was like in a crazy kind of fit of I have to go.
Surprises me.
Yeah.
About you. Because it's a sports thing.
I know, but it was just, I was so caught up in it. I mean, and you know.
I guess it's the same. It really is the same as if somebody was like, were to say, okay, like this is so and so's last gig with whatever band, and you can be there. I guess I would pay more.
Did you see the last Ray of Static? Was that their last tour?
That's exactly right. I saw the last Ray of Static show.
Right, and that was upwards of $8 to get into.
The tickets were $35.
Whoa, hey now!
But it cost me a hell of a lot more because I did drive to Toronto.
Yeah, you went there with what? Lise and Brian
Gelman and Brian Jacobs. Yeah.
Jesus, my goodness, that's what you call good friends to do that, because
hey, we had a blast.
I wouldn't go, honestly, Russ. I wouldn't go to.
I
would.
If you would not go someplace local to see the Ray of Static, it would be your loss.
No, I would.
You're
just not with
yourself,
you,
Jeff.
I wouldn't go to Penn Salkin.
It's no college basketball.
It's no whatever his name was. Last
Jameer
game.
Jameer Nelson. Star point
Franklin's last game.
He was cute. That's how you ruin any sports talk. You're like, he had the nicest thighs. You wouldn't believe it. And everybody else is just like, oh,
I believe that.
Yeah, it would. All right, guys, you want to play a song?
Yes.
Let's see. I have the big song list out. I'm going through papers, looking. It's our big ledger of songs. Actually, let's go on the podcast page, and we'll see. Up next, it's a selection from Todd Marone. Todd. And I think you're going to play us a local band?
Philadelphia's own The Swimmers. They made, I believe, last month, stopped into our friends at Day Trotters and put down four tracks. This one's called Saint Cecilia. Another job in the hills to pay invisible bills in service to the unknown, bowlers and trackers until the bellows are blown. We'll try to keep it in tune. Another jump on the wire. So many ciphers in June. Is The Swimmers coming to us via daytrotter.com.
And if we wanted more swimmer information, where would we go?
I would type in The Swimmers Band in Google and follow the top three links.
There you go. I think that's a good way to do it.
Very good.
Guys, this is a little bit I like to do, a new bit for 2000. Not really a bit, but it's something I like to get in for every podcast, and we can all take turns. It's called an open letter, too.
I've been sitting here copying the mail at the home 20.
Okay.
Well, we can give an open letter, too.
Are you going to just pick one person and we all chime in. We all add.
Well, no, you can add to this. This is this
we
is
send it three different letters.
No. This will be. I will unleash this barrage, and you guys can come up the flanks if we can use military.
Right.
And you get my support. So this is a open letter to Food Network, in particular the Food Network judges. Hey, Food Network judges. When you have a best mac and cheese contest and the winner wins with a lobster mac and cheese, and it's really just a huge chunk of lobster on a small bed of mac and cheese, that's not mac and cheese at all, you asses. That's just lobster with a side of mac and cheese. Okay? Let's just get that straight. It's completely different than mac and cheese. And may I also add, when you have the best grilled cheese sandwich, and the top grilled cheese sandwich is one that has ham and turkey, mayonnaise, and pesto, that's not a grilled cheese sandwich. You know what that's called? A sandwich. That's my open letter to Hey Food Network judges. Thank you.
Right. Russ, do you have something to add to the Food Network?
I have nothing to add.
Are you guys not as passionate about the Food Network shows as I am?
I've never watched any Food Network.
I just find the creative process fun. I find chefs an odd group of people, and I like watching just the madness that goes on with just preparing
food.
Have
you ever worked in a restaurant or in a kitchen?
Todd, Employee of the Summer, 1984.
Oh, that's right. We did hear about Burger that.
Burger
yeah.
King.
Yes.
Thank you. So, yes. So I don't think we need to ask if I worked in a restaurant.
Yeah, right.
Rush.
That's a good restaurant.
So let's, if I remember correctly, after 3 years of podcasting with you guys, Rush, you worked in the Long Island shadiest pizzeria.
They had
light bulbs in the pizza.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Todd, you were a very charming waiter, correct? You really knew
server.
How to, you know, a server, and you know how to play the people for tips and stuff. You had a little salesman in you, right?
Yeah.
What kind of restaurant did you work in? Italian?
I worked in an Italian place. I also worked in like a college wing kind of place.
Well, like a wing.
Well, yeah. You worked in TC's, right?
Yeah, TC's.
TC's,
right.
Yeah!
In Kutztown, yep.
Kutztown,
where I got salmonella poisoning.
Did you really? TC's didn't get visited by the Board of Health a lot?
They really should have. That place was a joke.
It was not a filthy,
yeah, well,
dirty place.
They should have really took a pounding for that, because everybody I knew who... Do you know how many people got salmonella from that place?
Salmonella that poisoning same, does not necessarily mean the restaurant is dirty.
That, well, they all got it that same night. They should have... It just really ticks me off.
You guys are angry, obviously. Damn you, TC's. We relied on you.
Was that the sickest you ever were?
That's really...
That was... It was that time and the time that I asked you to come over to my house and leave.
Yes, I do remember that.
2 liter of ginger ale outside my
and
door.
Bread, a loaf and bread. Of white bread and ginger ale, you asked me.
I was living by myself,
yep.
And I was too weak to even sit up.
Jesus, that was during the sad guy burrito days, right?
That was during those days.
I was Russell's emergency contact that day.
You were? Really?
Yep.
There was nobody else I could call.
Yeah.
I called Todd.
I remember that.
Russ is like in a delusional flu sweat, and he's just like, Todd, you know you're my hero. He's just like singing hero songs.
What's the sickest you ever were? I propose that as a theme to this podcast, because I'm just getting over a cold and now have two pink eyes.
Yeah, I know. And
what
someone
the sickest you ever were?
Someone just brought it up. Someone I haven't talked to in 10 years, but she Facebooked me. And then she's just like, all I really remember about you was you drank the chew spit and got really sick. I live with baseball
on
players.
On a dare?
No.
Oh.
I used to, you know, we were poor in college, and I had just one
you
little...
You were so poor you had to drink chew spit?
Oh, yeah, it was
fermented
my dinner.
Juice.
Oh, yeah, it was my dinner many a night, so I got used to it, my
juice
body.
Chew spit stew again?
I had just a Tupperware thing that I would fill it with water and take, like, these cheap packets of iced tea, pour the packets in, shake it up, and just drink it. It was like you get, like, 10 packets for $2.
Okay.
And, I would, you know, fill it up, and I would sometimes leave it. So I came back from the gym, and I'm like, oh, there's my Tupperware full of, oh, and there's about 2 ounces of iced tea left in it. So I just drank it and downed it, went in the kitchen, put it in the sink, and then my friend Jim comes. He goes, all right, let's go to the library. So as we're going to the library, he's like, you look a little green. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I get to the library, and I just start retching like you wouldn't believe. I mean, I uncontrollable. I thought everything was coming up. Got back in my car, went home. I couldn't move. I mean, for the whole next day, I was like, what the hell? And I finally figured out my buddies were sitting around. It was empty, and they were chewing tobacco, and they were using it as a spit cup. So there was like 2 ounces of tobacco spit juice in the bottom of
so
my Tupperware.
Vile.
And my friends, let's say, the two of the guys, especially on the baseball team, Carmelingo and Bill Walker, not like... I kind of know where their mouth has been a lot, and I would rather, like, you know, make out with a tailpipe of an old car than have to deal with that again, right?
Now, the worst I ever got sick was one time, about 17 years old, my friend takes me, you know, you could take your best friend to the shore for the week. And of course, like, it's his family and his family's family and aunts and uncles and cousins and just way too many people jammed into a New Jersey shore house.
Sure.
And day two, I got the worst virus in my life, like, where it's, you're sitting on the toilet and then suddenly you have to, like, quick get up and throw up at the same time. And I'm in the bathroom the entire time, the one bathroom. And, you know, everyone comes home from the beach and they have to use the bathroom to shower and get ready. And it was the most embarrassing, sickest, most pathetic week of my life.
That's a great first impression. You're right, because shore bathrooms are the worst, because they're just overrun with wet towels and sand, and it's just people, like, eight people clamoring to get in all the time. And
demand
just...
is high, supply is low, and then throw in the guy that nobody's related to, throwing up and having the runs in it.
You're painting a picture. Okay, guys, if everybody's not physically ill just listening to this nonsense,
it's a little nauseating.
It's a time for a song, and this song is really going to get your feet a-tapping. No. This is a song, new band called The Get You, and it's called Heart Check 1-2.
Yeah.
And we're back, people. That was a new band called The Get You. That was Heart Check 1-2. And you can check them out at myspace.com/TheGetYouMusic. The Get You is comprised of Fred Eltringham. And Fred Eltringham is a session drummer. He's an awesome drummer, Russ, that you'll enjoy, because he's played with not only the Wallflowers, Jacob Dylan, Dixie Chicks, also has played for Tears for Fears. And he was in a great band called the Gigolo Ants back in the day. They were awesome. And Fred is a great guy.
Do you know him?
I do know him because he's a good friend of Mike Parentozzi, a big fan of this podcast, if you will. And that's how I heard about these guys.
I maintain that Tears for Fears is a great band.
I never thought twice about him until I found out you liked them. Then I went back and listened to him, and I said, that Russ Stark knows a thing or two about a thing or two. Anyway, Fred is really great. And that song, to me, it's kind of like that sludge rock that really builds to a crescendo. And you listen at the end, it is majestic, like Court of the Crimson King majestic. So it starts out like with an old Sebado vibe, like a little sludgy. Then it just builds up to this great. So to me, the song, not something I normally listen to. And I listen to it, I'm like, wow, I'm really digging this. I'm really digging this. Now I want more of the Get You. Guys, you know, sometimes we do talk about movies, and the best thing about topics I bring up, I know, like, I get all excited about it. I'm like, you know what? Russ and Todd didn't see any of this. They don't care about any of this. So it's always like, hey, guys, did you? And it's,
what, like rental movies or movies that are out there?
Well, I'm always like, you know, I'm beholden to Netflix. You know what I mean? So, like, whenever something comes out. But I was looking at the top movies of this past year, of 2008. And I was going down the list, and we all saw The Dark Knight, correct?
What does it mean by top movie? Top grossing movie?
Top grossing.
Or top renters at Netflix?
Oh, no. This is top grossing movies that I will be probably looking at via Netflix.
Oh, you haven't seen Dark Knight?
I saw Dark Knight.
Yeah, I saw it.
I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
Liked it? Didn't love it. I thought it was about a half hour too long.
I need to see the first one first.
You haven't seen the first Batman?
Well, not the first new one.
Okay.
Enough. Batman.
Okay, enough Batman. No Batman talk. Iron Man, fun movie.
I didn't see that.
I loved it.
Fun movie. And it has a nice tie-in with the other Marvel universe, if you will. The Hulk, very good. We talked about Indiana Jones. Movie I want to talk about is Hancock. Did you guys see the Will Smith movie Hancock?
Didn't you bash it like crazy?
Or? No, I've never seen it.
Okay, like there were a handful of people, because I thought it looked good, and people were just bashing it.
I rented it because, you know, it was something to rent. Didn't think it would be good, and I thought it was very good. It was a lot deeper, and it was very touching in parts. And Will Smith, you know, does no wrong.
It seemed like an interesting, realistic take on someone who has superpowers as opposed to...
That's what it was. Yeah, yeah. It had a little kind of like...
Spandex clad.
Yeah, yeah. Darkness, a little edginess, and it was very well done. And Jason Bateman is in it, and he's gold.
I have a movie that you guys should see. It's a movie called Kenny. Have you heard of that?
No.
It's an Australian movie about a guy who cleans porta potties for a living.
Wow.
And it's done like docudrama style.
Mm-hmm.
Very enjoyable.
Yeah.
Really.
Comedy
really,
or kind of little of both?
It's, what do they call that? Kind of like.
Dramedy?
A mockumentary?
Yeah, it's mockumentary style, but it's comedy and drama. really a good movie.
I just saw last night. Old Country for No Men, or Country for Old Men,
Is that good?
Finally.
It's a real laugher, right?
You've heard plenty about it, I'm sure.
Oh, it sounds good.
But yeah, it was good.
Guys, is it time for a song?
It sure is.
Let me look at the big song list. Podcast 57 song list. I believe, Todd, we are going to play a selection from you.
This next one comes from I'm from Barcelona, from their brand new album called Who Killed Harry Houdini? And the song's called Paper Planes.
Surrounded by strangers, their sounds and their changes. Old man in his underpants, he plays the clarinet every night, trying hard to figure it out. In the flat above, they are making love. I guess you'll have a beautiful son, practicing as much as they've done. Paper planes, folding paper planes, throwing paper planes. There's the Cosby Show, and theater is screaming at Bill. Clarice Mad and Ruby is ill. There's a cat out there running everywhere, chasing all the girls in the park. I wish that I could see in the dark. Paper planes, folding paper planes, throwing paper planes to clear my head. Paper planes, folding paper planes, throwing paper planes and go to bed.
That was I'm From Barcelona with Paper Planes. And you may have picked up the Huxtable Cosby Show reference in there.
No, what was that? I'm not a fan, but I know you are.
Well, they were talking about the Huxtables and the Cosby Show.
Oh. Then it wasn't too hard to pick
by
up.
By name, yeah, by name. It wasn't subtle. I'm From Barcelona. They're a great band. I would recommend seeing them live. They're maybe 25 pieces. They're a great sing-along band. It's always a party. And if you want to spend some time well spent, if you ask me, in front of your computer terminal, point your browser to Blogatech, which is the French company that brings us the takeaway shows. Punch into Google, I'm From Barcelona, takeaway show, and there may be 3 or 4 minutes each. Definitely worth it.
You know, I never thought, Todd, that I would be, you know, come over to that side of music, that kind of happy rock.
Yeah.
It's happy rock, not up with people happy rock. It's happy rock with that kind of knowing, ironic edge that I'm really digging it now. Like, I think it started with the Go Team, who I just fabulous. Everything I hear from them, I'm like, these guys are amazing. And then Los Campesinos, they're great. I mean, I just got their new album, and it's fantastic.
Why did you feel like you wouldn't be into that? Was music a way for you to be brooding or something? Was that?
No, I'm not the sulking. But music to me was more like I needed kind of like a driving energy and serious about it. You know, a lot of like the punk music I like the Descendants and stuff. It's all tongue in cheek, but the music is a lot more driving and hard and fast. And I always thought, you know, like, I enjoy some quirky music. I utterly loathe most quirky music. But like I said, this kind of music I'm really learning to dig, because I think they have that real subtle, ironic edge to them that I enjoy.
It's lighthearted.
Yeah, they're not going for, you know, great art, and they're not really, you know, putting it out there saying, like, you know, we have the gravitas of a U2 or you know, bands like that.
And that opens up a big conversation about, like, what is great art, and what can it be bouncy and lighthearted? Can it be positive? Does it have to be heavy?
Yeah, that's
to be,
true.
To be great art? There's certainly not an answer to that.
Brian Eno said
but
that.
But U2 is not.
Is not
great one. Art. Go ahead.
They're anthem music.
They're right. And they're a little formulaic at this point. But when they were doing their 2000 album, Brian Eno said, and I think that this is true, that it... that they were trying to capture joy on tape, and that is 10 times harder than doing sullen or somber or sad.
There you go. Like, I agree with that.
Mellow, yeah. You know, like sad music and heavy music is so much easier.
Right.
Then doing something that actually captures fun and joy and does it in a way that isn't saccharine. You know,
yeah.
That is very difficult to do, and I can say that from experience because we've had that conversation. Like, I always find it very easy to pick up a guitar and play these sad minor chords and make it sound pretty, but to really write something that's upbeat and poppy and catchy and fun and just captures joy is very difficult. That's why
that's not contrived, right?
That's not contrived, exactly. And that's why, you know, and there were heavy themes in there.
You have to feel it and be it to do it, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
Right? And I know through my own experience, when I do an illustration or a painting or a drawing, I don't recognize that I do it, but Heather, my wife, will be watching me and say, like, you know you're over there with a giant smile on your face, or you know you're over there with, like, a concerned look on your... And it's because the thing that I'm attempting to illustrate has to portray that.
Right.
And I don't know that I'm doing it, but, you know, like, you almost have to kind of get in that mindset to... And I don't know that I'm doing it well, but at least that's the first step.
Sure, totally. She's like, do you know that you have a giant erection?
Are you painting Jameer Nelson? Oh, boy. We're going to do a song, right, Russell?
Correct.
Hey, Russ, why don't you intro this song?
All right. This is an indulgence.
Alright, that was Leroy Nimoy by Mattawax, which is one of my latest recording projects, so thanks again for letting me indulge. Thanks also for hanging in there with us while we figure out this new recording system. Pro Tools 8 and the latest version of the Mac operating system are not cooperating. The last segment that we recorded, we were unable to use, and so that's why you've got my lovely voice in your ears now. So anyway, thanks again for hanging in there with us while we get these problems ironed out, and we'll be back with you soon for Podcast 58. Take care.